Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and today is Tuesday, August 9th. This is our weekly look at news and people around the Jags organization. And what a week it is. The preseason is here, finally. The Jaguars open up with the New York Jets this Thursday night at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But today we'll go off the field with the Jags in the front office. Plenty to discuss with Jaguars Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Officer Mega Parekh. The Amphitheater Flexfield Project is rolling along, and we'll see if we can get her to discuss her rise through sports. But first, some headlines around the Jaguars organization. The Jags are ready for some real football this week. Well, as close to real as the first preseason game can get. Defensive end Dante Fowler Jr. has been a main storyline in camp so far, mainly for displaying an incredible motor on the practice field. He looks eager to get going in a real game, too, and it's been a while, remember, since he's played in a competitive football game. January 3rd, 2015, to be exact, the Birmingham Bowl, his final game with the Florida Gators. He's eager to play, and according to defensive coordinator Todd Wash, he's having to learn how to manage practices and pull back at the last moment.
He actually had a question today in meetings about what happens, how do I slow down and not hit people, which is a good thing. We love the energy and the effort that he plays with. And, we're not limiting him at all right now. And he goes out, he's physical on stuff. We got to get him to just slow down and play within himself. He tries to do too much at times. And like I say, he's a little bit of a bull in a china closet at times. But once again, that's the type of mental makeup we want on defense. And with him and Yannick and how they're going to play, we're very excited about it.
For Dante, it has been a long, hard road to get back. But he said early in camp that the Jaguars coaches made sure he was a part of the team throughout last season during his recovery.
Coach Wash, he told me, even though I'm hurt, that doesn't mean that you're not still part of the team. He still made me go in there and watch film, tendencies of how to play and how not to play. And Coach Muschamp just did a great job with me in college to teach me how to play fast and physical and just training me into an assassin that I want to be. So I just pay attention, and if you be coachable, anything can happen.
He put on a show during the Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage Friday night at Everbank Field, making his presence felt in a number of instances, including the first snap for the first-team offense, tackling running back T.J. Yeldon for a loss, and generally harassing the offensive line and quarterback throughout the night. It was quite a show, and everybody is excited to see him finally tee off for the first time against another team Thursday night against those New York Jets. Another player in his first NFL game this week, cornerback Jalen Ramsey. He said he's ready to take on someone else for the first time, finally, and after the surgery to repair a partially torn meniscus in the offseason and the recovery from that procedure, Ramsey is confident in what he brings to the table.
Really, for me personally, football's always came really easy to me, and I've never really had to struggle too much. I've had, struggle sometimes, but nothing too much. But coming back out from my knee surgery, I was really rusty. I had a lot of rust on me. So I kind of got welcomed to the NFL by some of the older guys, which was fine. But then I, got some of the rust off of me, got more comfortable, got on my feet a little bit better, and now I'm out there. I feel like I'm out there balling now, and I'm feeling definitely more like myself.
On the offensive side, wide receiver Marquise Lee returned to the practice field Monday, and head coach Gus Bradley said that they'll look at how he responds.
You might see him maybe in our sheet when we looked at it, not practice tomorrow, see how he recovers from today, and then just make a decision from there. All the rotations, the starters, how we're going to go about doing it, we'll have a personnel meeting tomorrow night.
That's Gus Bradley after practice Monday. Kelvin Beachum and Luke Jokel, that's a closely watched part of the offensive line in training camp. But recently, there's only been one guy getting much time on the field, and that's Luke Jokel. Beachum is doing some select work on the side while trying to get that surgically repaired knee back functioning full. In Friday night scrimmage, Jokel worked with the first team at left guard all night long and left tackle with the threes at the end. Getting reps at guard is vital, considering Jokel has never played that position until this offseason.
Definitely gaining comfort each day with it. The more reps I get, I haven't, been left guard really at all. But, there's certain things about it, which is, good. It's going well. The intricate details and all that kind of stuff is definitely, progressing in it, but still got to keep working on that kind of stuff. And, you know, just trying to attack every single day, you know, no matter what position I'm playing, just, you know, trying to be my best.
As for Beecham, he's still in a bit of a holding pattern with his knee.
I'm taking a day at a time, just like we've been doing from day one, taking what the knee gives us. Goals are still intact, listening to the coaches, listening to the staff, listening to Milo. Same thing I said day one, still getting better and better each and every day, and just being smart as we go.
Beecham did not play in Friday night scrimmage, and we'll see what the week has in store for him. In other offensive line news, center Brandon Linder missed the Friday night scrimmage with a groin strain, the first time he's dealt with something like that. The Jags will manage him as the week goes along, and the personnel meeting Tuesday night should determine his availability for Thursday night's game in New York. Register now for the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge. That's Saturday, August 13th, under the lights at Everbank Field. Online registration is available at firstplacesports.com. That's the number one, stplacesports.com. Also, the Jaguars this week announced the annual Meet Me at the 50 event, benefiting In the Pink, a boutique for women living with cancer. It's presented by PRI Productions, and this year's event again features ESPN NFL host Susie Colbert, and for the first time, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst John Gruden. Mark the calendar for Thursday, October 13th in the U.S. Assure Club West at Everbank Field. Tickets are $75, and the registration form is online at jaguars.com/50. That's the number 50. And while you're on jaguars.com, check out the training camp series on the website following the Jags defensive line. It's called In the Trenches, and they're two episodes in, and you can get a good behind-the-scenes look at the Jags D-line produced by Dave DeCandis and Patrick Cavanaugh. Our guest today on the J.P. Shadrick podcast is Senior Vice President, Chief Legal Officer, Megha Parekh. How are you? What's up?
I'm great. How are you?
Lovely. Thank you. And thanks for coming on. How often do you get interviewed, by the way?
Not very often. But when I do, I'm always most excited when it's Jaguars employees that are interviewing me.
Well, this is the first time, though, then, right?
Amanda interviewed me once for Jaguars Black.
Ah, yes.
She was very good.
That's right.
She was a very good coach, so you have a high standard to live up to.
This is going to be a challenge for me today, then.
Yes. I like interviews where I can walk down the hallway to do the interview. That always helps.
Well, that's what happened today.
Yeah.
And a newly renovated hallway and studio, by the way, and we owe you a lot of thanks for that.
Well, I think I just sort of helped make sure that it got through, but Patrick did all the designing, and Sam did all the networking, and a lot of people's work went into it. But no, it looks great in here. And it should be. This is where media partners come and sponsors come. It's a great-looking space now. I like it.
Well, it's still in progress, and we'll be done in a few weeks here with the new desk and the wiring to the other room and all that, so you can check it out on jaguars.com.
So is the case for the stadium, right? The stadium's a work in progress everywhere.
Right. And that's what Mark Lamping says, right? It's never finished.
Which is a good thing, because we need to keep on innovating and improving to, at a minimum, stay level and consistent and interesting and be a place that people want to come to. So we have to constantly be treading water, right, just to make sure that Everbank Field is a place that people want to come to. And, in fact, I think it's the best stadium in the NFL.
We'll get to your background coming up. Let's stay on this, though, because there's a lot of new here. The U.S. Assure Clubs are open for business this year. The amphitheater and Flex Field are next, and I'm sure you're knee-deep in that already, if not waist-deep. Let's start with the clubs. What is you had a big hand in the clubs. We talked to Nick last week, Nick Sobek, who was really the front-line guy on this thing, but you're all over it too. What's your favorite part about the clubs?
Oh, my favorite part about the clubs is a tie between the new storefront glass out to the Stadium Bowl, because I think that in the past you sort of felt like you were in a little bit of a cave, a little bit disconnected from the on-field action, and a little bit disconnected from what will soon be 18 video boards inside the Stadium Bowl once we do the new board over the south end zone fascia of the new Super Tunnel. But I love the storefront glass. I think Florida, to me, and we miss it because in our offices we don't have any windows out to the first floor.
There's a way to fix that.
There is. There's a dollar figure attached to it.
Yes,
and right now
is.
We've been spending our money on our fans, which makes a lot of sense. But no, I mean, one of the nicest things about Florida is the weather. And the more natural light that you can allow in there, I think the better for people. So it's a tie between that storefront glass and those new decks and the new board on the 200 level. Mm. That nanolumens board is incredible. And such a pretty TV. We were watching the Olympics up there earlier, and even relative to the other TVs in the space, which are all very nice, the TV color and pigment and just the sheer size of it fits really nicely, I think, with the rest of the technology in the building.
So you were watching the Olympics earlier at work?
On lunch, at lunch.
Oh, lunch break.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
With my coworkers, as Cassie and I were having a working lunch talking about our privacy policy, for what it's worth.
That's vital for what we have. What is a normal day for you? Like, what did you do? This is airing on Tuesday. What did you do on Monday? What time did you get here? And what is your normal Monday, Megan?
So there's no normal day-to-day, which is one of the most challenging but also one of the most fun parts of my job. So because as legal and with employee relations and, frankly, with IT and office services, you work with all of the different departments. So on any given day, you never know who's going to come to you and ask for something new. So over the course of today, met with the folks that organize the CrossFit Games because they're looking at hosting an event here potentially. Mm. And so together with SMG and the city and Jack Sports Council, talk to those folks about what our facility has to offer. I think one of the things about Everbank Field is that people don't really know about it outside of this marketplace as much as they should. And until you come here, it's so hard to describe to people what the impact is of having a video board that's 360 feet long by 62 feet high. There's just nothing like it. It's so impactful. It draws your eye to it every time. And even though we've had them for two seasons now, they're still really incredible to me. And then when you add on top of that the spas on the north deck, the new club decks, and the new super tunnel in the south end zone, I think our facility is truly one of a kind. It's a really interesting place to be. And I'd love for this stadium to be active, not just for the major Jaguars home games, Georgia, Florida this year, Tech Slayer Bowl, two nights of Monster Jam now, but also would love for it to be active 365 for meetings and conferences and weddings and proms and events. I just think it's such a beautiful facility in a way that people don't realize. And we have the parking. So I'd love for people to come here and make this place active 365.
And that's another part of the U.S. Assured Clubs, is that space is something we haven't had here before for meetings and dinners and events and proms and fill in the
right.
blank.
There's definitely been events here before, but it hasn't been quite as turnkey. I think that people will be really pleased with how with the variety of different spaces they have to choose from if they do want to hold an event here, and then also with how turnkey it'll be going forward. But so that was part of the day, part of the afternoon. One of the other things that came up today is working with the structural engineers on increasing the sizes potentially of some signage in the stadium. I do actually do legal work from time to time. So Cassie and I were working on our website privacy policy and terms of use, trying to finalize our construction manager agreement for the south end zone, for the covered field and the amphitheater scope. Hunt Danis was selected for that. And so before they start driving piles, want to make sure that contract's done. Had a call with Delaware North, who's our new food and beverage provider, to work through some terms on concessions transition and making sure that we button that up. But hopefully that'll be done this week. And, you know, in any given day, you really don't know. I also walked up to the coaches' booths with SMG to go take a look at those because there were some leaks in there, and was checking on the status of getting our lockers in the locker room. So it's a good variety of work, but for me, it's interesting. Challenging at times because you feel like you need to get your hands around the fire hose, but yeah. Really, really interesting. And so much to learn.
Yeah. How much of this was on your job description March 1st, 2013, when you arrived here?
I thought I was going to come down and be a lawyer. I had no idea that in a good way I was going to end up with IT and office services and HR. But, you know, in a lot of ways, the HR piece is as important as the legal side is. The HR piece is a little bit more fulfilling because you get to support everybody, and your job is to see them grow and give them the resources that they need. And I love that about here. I want this to be a place where people enjoy coming to work, feel challenged. We all may be stressed out from time to time with the volume, but it's so exciting. So since I started, we've acquired a UK soccer team, did the prior stadium improvements, so that was the new boards and the north deck, extended our naming rights deal. We're going to have done the concession deal. We'll have a refinancing coming later this year. And so there's no shortage of really exciting work that's happening, and I excluded everything that actually happens on the football field in that
that's right.
explanation. So there's that whole other thing of actually playing football that happens.
Which is amazing to think about. That's way down your list. There's so much going on.
I wouldn't say it's way down my list. It's just, it's interesting because it's one piece of all the things that we have going on. But as important, if not more important than the rest, right? Because that is the
football
linchpin
team,
of,
right?
Yeah, that's why we get to do all the other stuff.
That's true. Megan Parekh is with us, Senior Vice President, Chief Legal Officer for the Jaguars. Let's talk about this amphitheater and this flex field coming up. How deep into that process are you? Said your Dennis Hunt is the construction partner there. But I see a fence out there every day when I drive by, and some dirt has been moved. That's about as far as it's been, right?
So I think that when people look at that, they may not realize just how much subsurface work has to go into the project, right? So because we are driving piles into the ground, potentially to do a new stormwater pipe through Lot J, all of that work, all the planning and all the pre-construction, for me, that's the busiest part. Once the construction guys actually start going in a good way, I'm sort of out of it. You know, you watch them day to day and you make sure that I send monthly updates to the city, who's been a wonderful partner to us. But this is a really busy time in terms of planning and scheduling. The two of the biggest packages are steel and fabric. And so the construction manager is working with those subs to try and come to terms. So there's a ton of work going on. And so when people say that, it's always funny because there's a lot of work that needs to happen before you start knocking things down. But that's probably the right way to do things, yeah. Right? You plan and then you knock the stuff down.
That's right. And when it's done, I know you're a big music fan, and you play some guitar on the side. I know that.
Poorly in my house, but yeah.
Right, same here. Who do you want to see as the first act?
You know, I as a music fan, I actually, in an unhelpful answer, sort of love all music. So I could see any number of people opening that thing. What I'd love to see is some sort of crossover act that really, one, it's a concert that's unique, that the city can be really proud of and that people really enjoy. But in the same way that my favorite, probably one of my most favorite days of work so far was July 26, 2014, when we unveiled the Prior boards and the North Deck. I'm looking forward to the unveil event just because it's so nice to finally let the community in to see, one, what their money, half their money has gone towards, the other half being Mr. Khan's money. But it's so nice to see them able to actually use the asset because it's theirs, and that's why we do it.
So I didn't hear a band name.
Oh, I don't know if it was me, it's Bon Jovi, but that's just the Jersey Girl that coming
is,
through.
That is the Jersey Girl. Is that a crossover act? I don't know if that counts, right? Does that cover everybody?
Bon Jovi has hit metal, has hit country charts. I think so, right? Like, come on. Can't go wrong with John Bon Jovi.
Tom, the architect, wanted Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Nick wanted Jay-Z, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Tedeschi Trucks Band. So okay. We're all over the map right now.
I think you bring the four of them together.
That's what I said. Have a festival. You have the field and the amphitheater. You have two concerts there, one over there, one on the field.
Bon Jovi can fill out the stadium.
Perfect. I think we've got it figured out. Should be a fantastic.
There's also like more than one day that would just say amphitheater needs to be booked. So, you know, we can spread them out a little bit.
Did you used to be a sports writer? I think I read that.
I did. In college, I wrote sports for the paper.
What'd you write about? All sports?
Yeah, men's water polo, I think, was my most consistent beat that I had, which was there's actually some on today for the Olympics.
At Harvard, by the way. You are a Harvard grad.
I am. Yep. So that was it was a lot of fun because it was something that I had known nothing about. And so I had to sort of learn about the game as I was writing about the game, which was really interesting.
Similar setup in radio for me at Alabama. I didn't know anything about women's volleyball, but then I had to call play-by-play on the radio of women's volleyball. You learn pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, once you're around it, you kind of immerse yourself in it.
And you also develop like a new respect for people in a way that I had no idea that they were treading 7 miles or swimming 7 miles during each game, which is sort of crazy to me.
I don't like driving 7 miles most days, Megan. I'll be honest with you. Swimming, I can't even imagine. So why did you stop writing? Is that not your... what were you interested in?
I started writing long, boring contracts instead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pays better, I'm sure.
So there's lots of writing, but just not quite the same. No, it's fun. I've always loved sports. From when I was a little kid, I have an older brother, and I always wanted to do everything exactly like him. And so it was through following him around that I fell in love with sports, but I love it.
Who are your teams outside the Jags?
Obviously the Jaguars. Growing up, I loved the Yankees and the Jets. I worked for the Red Sox a little bit when I was in law school. Mm-hmm. So that was a tough change for me, but... in addition to football, I love baseball. I think I'm the last person that I know that wants to sit there and watch a baseball game from beginning to end, no matter who's playing. So.
You're talking to a guy who worked in baseball for 9 years.
I know. I get it. No one wants to do it anymore.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It can be really tough for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Megha Parekh is with us, Senior Vice President, Chief Legal Officer for the Jaguars. A couple more minutes with you here. Preseason starting. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not going to every game, right? Do you travel some, or what's your situation with the football team?
So some, and especially I like traveling to facilities that I haven't been to before because it's really helpful to know what other people are doing so that we can then look at those ideas and see how either we can implement them here or what we might be able to do. So a couple years ago, I went to Tennessee because that's when we were looking at getting our new boards, and they had just gotten new video boards. But no, look, it's I think to be an effective lawyer, in fact, to be like an effective part of any organization, it's really helpful to know what all the other people are doing, right? And until you spend time walking around this building, which you see me doing all the time.
Quickly, by the way, you run.
That's the jersey. But yeah, no, it's, I think it's really helpful to know. You can write about a sponsorship deal sitting at your desk, or you can go look at how it's actually played out and then write a better deal. Or you can write about a concessions deal, or you can look and see what these guys are actually doing with their golf carts and pallet jacks and then write a better deal, right? That works better for everybody. So I think it's important just to learn as much as you can about the business, and to your point, get knee deep or waist deep in it so that you know what's going on and how it all works. Guessing is a bad way to try and do it.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. We're looking forward to the Flex Field, the amphitheater. That's the next project on the docket. And we always look forward to seeing what your work accomplishes here in the building. So thank you for everything you've done, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, Megan.
Thanks, JP.
The Jags crank up the preseason this Thursday night at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, against the New York Jets. Jaguars radio coverage begins at 4:30 on the flagship station, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM in Jacksonville, with a Publix tailgate show. Jaguars radio network coverage starts at 6:30 with Countdown to Kickoff. And throughout the entire 3 hours, Mike Dempsey and I will get you ready for the preseason opener with many guests and analysts. Tune us in. Also coming up next Monday, August 15th, it's the season debut of Jaguars Monday Radio with yours truly, refereeing CBSSports.com senior NFL writer Pete Prisco and Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli. At 6 to 8 p.m. Monday night on 1010XL in Jacksonville, and available later in podcast form on Jaguars.com and on iTunes. Our thanks to Jaguars Senior Vice President, Chief Legal Officer Megha Parekh for her time this week. And as always, a special thanks to Jaguars Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick, and we'll catch you next week on the JP Shadrick Podcast.